Huh? Is there anybody out there? What am I doing here? I don't know. I'm kind of crazy. I'm looking for my socks and I'm only finding shoes.
And you may find yourself living in a shotgun shack.
And you may find yourself going down the Minnesota rabbit hole. That's right. It's down the Minnesota rabbit hole. And we're going down a deep hole tonight, folks. I'm your host, Lance Ward. I'm a doodler. I'm a fancy doodler. And I'm here with my buddy, Timmy. And he picked telephones.
I'm Tim the Telephone Man. Nice to be back. And we have Brother Enoch with us as well.
Good to be here. Good to be here. Yeah, I saw this. We were just talking about it outside. Saw this documentary about 30 years ago. What a great
the Talking Heads stop making sense. Oh.
Yeah, the video. It's awesome.
And I mean, some people say, "Oh, they peaked at 78." It's like, come on, man.
They peaked at 78.
You know, I mean, they were good way back.
They're
in the
like
day.
Most bands. Their earlier stuff's a little better than the later
stuff.
Yeah, it's
true.
But their real early stuff was decent. And then, I mean, I like them, so it's hard for me to.
Well, they were huge in the 80s.
I really dig them, man. I think they're. I like the Talking Heads, man. What can I say? They're one of my favorite bands.
Didn't they do the Breakfast Club thing too?
No.
That was
Simple Minds.
Yeah, but it's like, okay, they peaked at 78. Bullshit. Remain in Light from 1983. Got this song on here.
Yeah,
Cross-Eyed and Painless. Come on, you don't mess with this. 1983, yeah. Burn It Down the House? Come on.
Garbage.
Haters. Fuck you.
You don't like Burn It Down the House?
You don't like Burn It Down the House?
That's all right.
All right, this tune is great. Okay.
Life During Wartime might
be
my
favorite.
Wouldn't
be the first on the list.
It would?
Yeah, Life During Wartime, I think that might be my favorite one by them.
Ah. Well, so we're going down the Minnesota rabbit hole, and we heard about going down another hole. The hole of hell, the gates of hell, and apparently in a remote part of Siberia, a team of scientists drilled into a hole deep into the Earth's crust.
What'd they find down there, peanut butter?
Well, they were looking for peanut butter because they found out the moon contained cheese, but all they found was a couple of raisins. No, they dug 7 miles down. And they couldn't dig any deeper. They said they hit a pocket, and the heat came up 2,000 degrees. And they figured, well, we must have hit hell. And
well, first of all, they they got to a certain point and realized that there was no, was it balsamic rock or whatever it is? I can't
say. Yeah, there's like basalt.
Basalt rock.
There was no basalt layer.
So literally missing a layer of the Earth's crust that they thought
right.
was there.
Yep.
That wasn't
that
there.
That is correct. It was all granite.
And then they went down further and they found
water.
Water.
Yes.
At like 4.5 miles down.
Yeah.
They didn't think water was going to be that far
an
down.
Ocean of water they found.
And it contained all kinds of bacteria.
And then
they
said, the other thing that they found was, yeah, they found fossils down in that region, and they didn't think life existed down there.
Right.
So.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Well.
And just let me interject real quick. Part of the reason we're playing the song is just we were talking about time outside, and we're going to maybe talk about time later if we have time. And the song obviously references time, but we're talking about water being found 4 miles down, I think it was 4.3 miles down. And it's interesting that the lyrics of the song, it says, and this is one part of it, it says, letting the days go by, let the water hold me down, letting the days go by, water flowing underground, into the blue again, into the silent water, under the rocks and stone, there's water underground.
Right, and that's
so it seems
the
like David Byrne already knew this, but go ahead.
And here's that song that, and that's Once in a Lifetime by the Talking Heads. We started the show, you know, and you get past all that.
Well, there
great
are
song. It's a great song, but okay, so we're talking about hell, and it's good that we have this nice song on because it gets pretty spooky. So these guys, they dug down into hell, and they decided that they were going to put a heat resistant microphone down and see what they recorded. So they got it down as far as they could, and they recorded it. Now, before I play this, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to realize that this is, it's pretty spooky, frightening to some of you. It might, you know, it might freak you out a little bit.
I was freaked. I freaked. Yeah,
right, right.
For sure.
And, I mean,
I haven't heard
it's best
it,
with
so
headphones on now.
Let's play it.
There's another guy who says you can hear an Arabic word, like a demon shouting the Arabic word for stand. Like stand up so that they can be, it's like oof.
Shalanak Khalbibi.
Yeah, if you scare easily, that's too bad.
Yep, so here we go. We're going to roll it with the real screams of hell. Now this is the precursor. This is them sending the microphone down, and then you'll hear the. You'll definitely be able to tell when you hear the strange screams and.
That's pretty crazy.
If we're buying and selling, I'm selling.
To me, well, number one, I don't believe that hell exists. Number two, I don't think it's 7 miles deep in the earth or the crust. 7 miles deep, that's only 0.2 of how thick the earth's crust supposedly is what they think. You know, they're not right with, I mean, they weren't right about the basalt layer. So, and a lot of the scientists, they're not settled on what's in the middle even. They used to think it was a molten core, then they thought it was a core of nickel. Molten nickel, was it? Now they think maybe it's crystalline?
Here's the thing.
What the fuck, man? Now,
as somebody who reads the Christian Bible, and as somebody who tries to be spiritual, we're you'd understand this, Lance. I know you're not super religious, but we're physical only here. We're spiritual beings.
Correct.
So
we're in a mech suit.
Yeah. So that spirit that's inside the mech suit, when it dies, it's no longer flesh. So it doesn't need to be here in this dimension or this reality.
Correct.
Trapped in under a rock and earth. It would be in a different dimension.
And it's not going to be hanging around a graveyard.
Yeah, that's the other thing. I just like stuff like that, I just, you know. I know I'm a conspiracy guy, but stuff like that, I'm real hard to ever take any, like, give it any sort of credence. I just don't.
Hell?
But.
Hell? People describe hell of all different varieties. To some people, a public restroom is hell.
That's true. I guess it's a matter of perspective. I mean, the way I felt actually dying and popping out of my body, I felt I was ready to go because I've been a good person my whole life. You know, life had kicked me in the nuts, but I didn't let it turn me into a piece of shit, you know? And I died and I felt just super calm, you know? It was the greatest feeling ever. But what if I was fucking, you know, twisted up inside with guilt? You know, guilt of a murder or something like that, you know? Or sentencing people to death, men and women, or children, or that type of thing. Will it be the same?
Well, I look at it this way. No matter who you are here, you're going to be that on the other side when you get there. So if you're a horrible, brutal monster, then that's how you're going to appear on the other side. So you choose.
Right. Now, I don't know. I'm not against reincarnation. I think it does happen, but I think it might be a choice. And I'm not sure if it's a choice for everybody. You know, maybe some people, they didn't do it right here and they automatically have to go back and do it again until they become aware.
We'd have to start defining what reincarnation is.
Your soul going into an empty vessel. because I think, and this is
my
theory.
You're talking about transference of the soul, not just an afterlife.
I think, right. Well, now hear me out. This is going down a rabbit hole, and it's crazy, and it might be the brain damage. Who knows? But I think that some people don't have a soul. I think some people are born without souls, and they don't get one. And they become shells, vessels, and they just go through the motions. I mean, they're human beings.
So would that be, just to throw in, interject, somebody like that might be considered by science a psychopath that just doesn't have emotions
like
or empathy?
Like a clone
well,
that doesn't
no,
have
not
a soul.
Not
necessarily.
Right? But if you don't have empathy, right?
So
you really don't have emotions and you can't sympathize with somebody.
Right. It's very possible that is one.
That's
the extreme of that. But I think, you know, I think that some people just, and they go through the motions and they, you know, get a job and they live and they die and boom, and that's the end. And they don't have a soul. And maybe that.
They're extras in the video game.
Maybe.
Right? They're just background players. NPCs, they call them.
NPCs, yeah. Non.
Well, according to your reality, they are just characters in a story, right?
Well, in everyone's reality, if we look at it, I mean, my reality is it differs from yours because you're seeing life through.
Correct.
You know, Of course, I've sat on that other side of the table, so I know what it looks like behind me, but I've never seen me in front of it.
Right.
Right. So
we're all viewing life behind the mask.
Right. So I'm just a player in your story, man. You know. Ultimately, it is your story, and it's your story as well. Now, if you go like to multiverse series, let's say you make a choice, A road or B road, and if you choose B, in the multiverse theory, another you chooses A, correct?
Yeah,
Okay, so that means that I'm creating multiverses, and you are creating multiverses, and you are creating multiverses as well. Right?
Correct. Yeah.
So, is it just in our heads? Are the multiverses in our heads? Is that does it exist?
They're
within
in your
our
head.
in my reality, it does not exist.
It does not exist. That's multiverses.
In your reality, it doesn't exist because your reality is right here, right now.
It is right here, right now. But I often wonder because I died and I came back, and you know all this fucked up shit has happened. And
well, then we get
weird
into
stuff.
Deeper and questions. You can say, well, what is reality?
Well, that's exactly it. I mean, there's times in my life during the day, during the week, or whatever, that I wonder if I'm still in that hospital bed, if I'm in the microsecond dying, and I've just been given the chance to live out, you know, a life before I move on, which will eventually happen. I will go on, so I won't know whether it happened in the hospital room, right? Or
spoiler alert, but this is like basically the ending of like Passion of the Christ. It's basically
now what happens if. You know, I get sick to the point where then I have to go to the hospital and they put me in the same room and all that, and then it just morphs into
back to where you
Groundhog's
were.
Bing, Day.
Groundhog's Day.
Yeah, well, not exactly that, but so I wonder. Then I wonder, okay, maybe I died, and this is, you know, this is the chance that I've been given to, you know. See what it would have been like.
So the reason I say this is reality is, and I like to look it up, the world or the state of things as they actually exist as opposed to an idealistic or notional idea of them, right?
Yeah.
But then again, you could say, here's another definition of reality. It says the state or quality of having existence or substance. So then you would say, well, is there any substance to the fact that maybe there is some life after death or whatnot.
There is, man.
Did you guys see the movie Flatliners?
Yeah, back in
there's
the
a
day.
New one that's out now.
Yeah, remake, I don't know, man. Did you see it?
No, I did not. I just saw the trailers for it. The new Flatliners.
No,
oh,
I'm gonna go see it.
You have to see that.
It comes out tomorrow and that's the fucking movie that's gonna bring people back to the theater.
They're redoing that?
They did, and it looks
they did.
Well, it looks
really
super
good.
Sorry, I've been under a rock.
Nah, it looks really good. Yeah. Stephen King even saw and said, I like this one, and it scared the shit out of me. So,
wow.
I will not be watching it. But
do you guys remember the Stephen King movie Maximum Overdrive?
Yeah, for sure.
Emilio Estevez, AC/DC soundtrack. Yes. Now, do you guys remember the trailer for that movie?
No.
Stephen King came out and said, this movie's going to scare the hell out of you. And I remember that.
That's a long time ago.
Even the book didn't scare anybody. The fucking truck that tries to kill you and a lawnmower that wants to eat you and a soda machine that throws a bop in your dick.
Yeah. Ching, ching.
Right. No. So we got a little off the subject there. We were talking about hell and reality and different realities.
Well, and
I'm experiencing a different reality right now.
All stemming from that video of supposedly
the deepest
sounds
hole.
Of hell from the deepest hole right. ever drilled in America or in the world.
And we're playing in the background the music that came out.
And I'm saying I'm
rubbish,
calling bullshit, but that's
just me. I don't think it's real. I think it's meant to just... It's probably just the sound of the earth moving.
I think what's interesting about the video is that they found water 4 miles down.
And that is the interesting thing.
They found
thing.
Life down at yeah. 5 miles down. And
yeah.
It's stuff like that. So it's like, that's why I watch weird videos and ancient aliens and all
right.
that kooky crap. It's that, yeah, you're going to see an hour's video and you're probably going to see like 57 minutes worth of bullshit. But there's probably 3 minutes worth of relevant information that's kind of cool. So soak it all in. You know?
Now what if...
Try not to get distracted.
Now what if when they were drilling down and they found the water, that was the water source for the people who lived down there, and that was their spring well of fresh water, and now the fucking Morlocks don't have any water to drink.
There are other people that would
so now they're morphing
suggest...
and they have to come up here now to get their water in the ice from the Antarctic.
There's other people that would suggest Noah's flood actually receded into... sinkholes inside. There's
any flood would go into a hole.
I think he's just saying, giving it the title of Noah, is that the worldwide flood that almost every major mythology
right.
speaks of. And so loud to
right.
just call it Noah's flood and get it over with.
But man, you slap that title on anything, people are there, man. Oh, man, Noah's Ark found.
Well, you just say the flood or the deluge, you know, I mean.
The deluge.
I remember when I saw a news story about a climber who was climbing in the mountains in Turkey or Syria or wherever the fuck they found Noah's Ark. Or they didn't find it yet, but as far as I know.
Was,
but
I thought that was like satellite imaging.
That's what I heard now,
I'm sure it's been found.
And the guy went up there, and he found it, and it was just him. He was like a climber, but he had a camera, and he took a whole bunch of pictures of it and on the inside. And
just mountain
and
air,
he took
air
like.
Rat. Was that where he supposed
yeah.
it was?
And he took like some hay and put it in his pocket, and he found like animal poop and shit and put it in his pocket for scientific investigations and that type of thing. Yeah, you fucking dumbass. Hey. But
it was some farmer's shack
but,
up in the hills.
You know, it came back and they said, well, we couldn't identify the poop and, you know, the hairs or whatever you brought back, and the hay is some old grass that hasn't been around in, you know, 2,000 years or some shit like that, and blah, 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 and, you know. And so, I mean, is it possible that there was an old ship up there and he found a bunch of shit? I saw the photos and I watched the documentary about the goddamn thing. Is it possible? Yes. Is it Noah's Ark? No, fuck no. Was there a big flood? There's a ton of them. I bet there was a ton of them, man.
Was there a worldwide flood? That's the question.
That's ridiculous.
There's been records of more than one.
Really?
Worldwide.
It's ridiculous.
The whole globe covered like Waterworld. Kevin Costner drinking his own pee.
Think about this.
I'm thinking, all right.
Think about...
All right.
and you know, Einstein, who came up with the crust displacement theory.
Yeah, worldwide mass murderer. Yeah, go ahead.
So think about a major pole tilt, right?
Yeah.
The North Pole shifts and ends up in the South or wherever.
Yeah.
You don't think that would send rushing tidal waves across continents?
That would slap water all over the place.
No, it might not be like water world like we know it, but you don't think mile-high tidal waves of water as the tectonic plates are being thrown around this ball or whatever, that wouldn't just send a literal tsunami like we've never even thought of across every continent in the world.
Nah. I don't buy it.
I don't know how it wouldn't.
Well, there's so much water on the planet.
But there's so much land. I mean, think about that. Think about getting that water to Kansas.
I don't know.
Well, okay, so that's the point, though. That's the point, is that...
I mean, sure, coasts would be destroyed.
It's probably pretty obvious.
And those old people, they lived on the rivers and shit,
It's pretty obvious that the entire world didn't drown.
Right.
Because here we are. We're the evidence.
Right.
Proof's in the pudding.
Bingo, bango.
Okay, so Kansas didn't flood.
Right.
But maybe... Okay, so I was out in Bryce Canyon in Utah.
Beautiful.
It's beautiful. And if you spend any time there and you start looking around and reading, you'll realize that entire site was underwater at one point. Well, that proves my point. Is that how did the water get all the way into Utah at one point? So there was... It's very possible... We know scientifically that the water can recede in the United States all the way into Utah and cover Bryce.
Well, that's glaciers and shit, you know. It's not necessarily ocean water, but...
We don't know that because we do think it was ocean
water. Well,
it could be ocean water because
maybe they found...
well, if it wasn't ocean
dinosaurs water, and shit, ichthyosaurus or whatever the fuck.
So at one point, water was all the way into Utah in North America.
Sure.
So water
we
can
know
go
that
anywhere.
Yeah. There we go. And the rush of water being thrust into motion like that, I think would play an incredible role. And that was part of what that documentary
was. See, here's
was
what
about.
I think. 2000 years ago, whenever they fucking wrote the story about Noah's Ark, they're all in the fucking desert. They don't know shit. They don't have airplanes. They live by rivers. They live by the Euphrates, the Nile, the Blobbity Blue,
and the oceans meet. That's assuming it was only written in the Holy Bible, and then the flood was written about, I mean, it's talked about in North America,
it's talked about
in South America, it's talked about in Asia, it's talked about in Africa,
but they
Europe,
all live by water.
Every continent, every mythology.
Yeah, but they all live by water, so if there was, I mean,
but why would
they're all going to get fucked.
So why would
but they don't know the whole fucking world underwater. They don't know. They didn't know. They didn't have satellite imagery.
Their whole world was underwater.
Right.
That was
exactly
their reality. But if every...
continent
was underwater, right, at some point...
Right. Well, parts of it, yeah.
Okay. So how did that happen?
Glaciers.
So people were around...
Ice Age, yeah.
Okay.
Cavemen and shit.
Ice Age.
Glaciers move very slowly over thousands of years.
There were cavemen and shit back then. 80,000 years ago, the cavemen.
So being that the glaciers...
Of course.
So being that this was such a recent time that man wrote it down, right? That this must only... Man couldn't write up till about 5,500 years ago, right?
Right.
So being that this is such a recent event, these major icebergs melted, why would I care about global warming at all, knowing that the ice is still melting?
I don't know. Does somebody
I don't
care
know
about
where
global
that question
warming?
Went.
Well, no, I mean, I'm just trying to say, like, if that's the
climate
theory,
change, you should call it. It's not really global warming.
I'm sorry, the religion has changed the name.
I'm just saying it's more of a...
Has a
global warming is kind of a misnomer. I mean, they're talking climate change.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to offend the religion.
No, it's
global. God damn it!
It's gonna be climate disruption here soon.
Climate.
I think they were already talking about that one.
Extreme climate change, baby.
Yep, climate disruption. That's the
speaking
key.
Of that. That's
the new buzzword.
If that's what you're saying is like what causes the flood, then at this point I would say I disagree. But
well, what I'm saying is every culture has obviously had a giant flood, you know, at some point that comes from the ocean tsunamis. We saw what happened in Japan with the big tsunami and it took out Fukushima. We saw flooding, what happens in Houston, you know, they're drying out now. The water was, you know, it was terrible. I saw the street sign under the water. The dude took the photo from the boat. He's driving around and the water was so deep and shit like that. I believe that. I believe that there was massive flooding in the Middle East, over in China, wherever these cultures were. I believe any culture that lives by water or the ocean is going to eventually be the victim of some kind of huge flooding and stuff. But I'm not saying that the entire globe was covered.
I'm not either.
Well,
I'm not either. I haven't said that. What I'm saying is the entire globe, meaning every continent, experienced some sort of...
A deluge.
A deluge, right?
That's what they call it.
So...
Yeah. So
now the really, I mean, it's not. I don't think it's really a theory or a conspiracy or a religion at this point. I think it's more of a historical.
It's a historical fact, record.
But the debatable part is what caused it. Was it, you know, I think 40 days of rain seems kind of ludicrous. But was it a pole shift? Was it
right.
wasn't an right. asteroid that hit?
We've seen right. a lot of history here between right. all these countries, and they all document the
right.
same
now,
shit.
The part
right?
I have a problem with is Noah building a boat to house every single animal for 40 days or whatever it right. was, or however long, because he had to wait till the for the water to recede down these sinkholes, which is what led us to this conversation.
Right, right,
sounds
right.
of hell. But so, I mean, that's the part where I'm like, okay.
What if
we all understand this is a parable, right? That like yeah. there's a story being told here, and it's
right.
like not a literal translation at this point, you know. And the main thing was that there was a flood, and supposedly this is why they wrote it down, is that it was a moral judgment on man. That's why there was this great flood,
right? And we came along after that, so whether we were made, deposited.
Actually, we were around already.
Most everything died in the flood, except for...
No, wait a second now.
Noah and his line.
There's another theory going around.
Yeah, which is...
That my friend wrote a book about. Nibiru. And how this Planet X...
Oh, God.
Could
nobody
come
wants
around.
To talk about Planet
no,
X.
No, go ahead, man. It's... hey, it, you know...
Well, that's
that,
one of the
that
things
they think
that all
when
of the
planet comes by, it pulls, like... The earth and the water is kind of like in an oblong shape. Oceanographers, it's like what they learn on day one. And it's kind of, you know, bulged out in the middle. And what happens is Nibiru comes and the gravity squishes the earth into the circle shape that we've all come to know
and
love.
We don't know that.
Well, you know, it squishes it. It brings the water up.
Well, here's the theory. Planet Earth generates a magnetic field, right? It's a big magnet. North Pole, positive. South Pole, negative, okay? Yep. Nibiru or Sedna, either one.
What's the word?
Sedna.
That's new. I haven't heard that before.
Sedna is the sun's evil twin.
Okay.
Right? We live in a binary solar system, okay? So Sedna...
Really?
Is our second sun, yeah. And that orbits Sol, which is our sun, right?
Dude, is this from book three or something? Because I'm not familiar with this whole...
No, this is just other
the
research.
The sun's
that
evil
I've done.
Twin. Does it have a goatee?
Yes, it does. And sunglasses.
Tell the difference. It's got the soul patch.
Well, after the show, you can take a look at it.
Sedna. I've never heard that before.
Sedna, yeah.
So you... I know a lot of scientists think that most galaxies that would harbor life live in a binary system. Just because of the way that a binary system is set up, it's better able to like harbor life or something like that. And that our single sun is an anomaly as far as...
Correct.
No, but it is not an anomaly. We have two.
Well...
One is a brown dwarf.
If what Lance is saying is, if the settled science is correct, and we live in a singular star system, then we are very unique because most star systems that we're told
two or three
are binary. Yeah, they have multiple stars. So,
all right, now I saw the map, the devastation map of how this other planet would pull the water up, and the water reaches all the way to Kansas, pretty
right.
much.
What happens is the North Pole. Or the south pole of that planet locks onto ours, and it pulls the planet over. You know, it tilts it 180 degrees as the magnetic pull. And then once it reaches a certain point, it lets it go.
That's...
and then it snaps
now,
back.
Does it pull it out of orbit?
Yeah. It's pulling all kinds of things out of orbit.
So if it pulls it out of orbit, has this happened before?
I'm sure... Yeah,
apparently so, every 26,400 okay, so, years.
Yeah, 26,000
so,
or whatever it
so
was.
So this has happened before.
Yep, and they call it a pole shift.
Oh, it's only every 26,000 years?
Pole shifts
yeah,
happen
they say
all
the,
on their own.
The elliptical, when it comes around, that's mm-hmm. how, that's
so,
it.
So it's every precession of what
right.
we know as Earth, which is about every 26,000, it's like 25,600 years.
Correct, something like that, is. Yeah.
Okay. Because I'm wondering if it's pulled out of orbit, shouldn't the constellations change after a while? Shouldn't we see them differently?
Depends on how far out of orbit you're pulled, I guess.
Well, if the last one was pulled 26,000 years ago and it fucked everything up.
Well,
so now,
and that's the records that we're looking at from all of the ancient writings.
So then maybe the constellations did look different if we had records from before. Like, here's what the constellations look like, and then the Nibiru came in, and now here's what they are for another 26,000 years, which is coming around now.
We saw records, remember, Enoch, where they were able to see Pleiades from the South Pole. Remember that? And now we can see Pleiades directly above us. Is that right? Man, I haven't seen Pleiades.
I've heard
seven stars.
About that.
The Pleiades?
Yes.
Where they could see it from the South Pole?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That I don't know about.
Remember, we were talking about it. I saw something on it about how that constellation did change. Or
it shifted.
It did, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, could that be the result of... I mean, is that the only one that was recorded at that time? And here's my question. Who recorded it 26,000 years ago?
Who makes up
all
the stories?
They say that modern civilization didn't start, you know, like 6,000 years ago or something, which I find ridiculous. I find that notion ridiculous. But, you know, 26,000 years ago, it would have been I mean, let's say we had a advanced civilization 30,000 years ago. Then this planet comes in, fucks everything up, wrecks everything. The only thing that's left is the Sphinx and a couple other things and blah, blah, blah. People go hiding back into caves and they have to relearn everything.
They forget everything.
They go back to the Sphinx.
Past.
They go back to what they remember, you know. And then they start, you know, building this and put their own thing. At this point, the Anunnaki come in or whoever and say, here's an opportunity to, you know, turn these cavemen into slaves.
And we're still slaves. Awesome.
Yeah, we're still slaves. Live in a virtual world. We want to be a virtual girl. Doodly-doo-doo-doo-doodly-doo. Don't you like my song? Order it today, $17.95. And I'll send the cassette right over to your house. Yeah, go ahead, man. Speak
so,
up.
So, yeah, this was a couple of things that happened in August. Just talk about them here.
All right.
Oh,
by the way, before we start, every week I like to showcase a single band that we run in the background. This week you're listening to the band Electric Orange, and this is the album Ebgelaufen. They're a German krautrock band. It's from 2001.
Oh, real quick here, too. I was looking for elongated pictures of Earth, and I found one that looks pretty good.
That's lovely. That's lovely.
Yeah. Elongated into the shape of a parapet, my friend.
Go ahead.
That ain't no flat earth, baby.
That's a hard earth, baby.
Okay, so I gotta mention this list came from Prep Aussie out there on YouTube. You have to check out his channel. All right, so these are some of the things that happened in August, okay? Massive fires in the Northern Hemisphere, worst ever recorded. You probably don't know this. If you pull up a website that says all the wildfires going on right now.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Fucking wildfires everywhere.
Yeah, it's incredible. I have friends who live out there, and they're constantly posting on Facebook how they're choking every day because the smoke is so thick. That they're buying furnace filters and placing them over box fans, then put the box fan in the window and, you know, try to get the fresh air in so they can breathe. It's fucked up out there, man.
There's fires everywhere. So what do you think's causing the fires? Falling debris, maybe, or, you
They
know?
Said it was a teenager playing with fireworks started the whole deal.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's one case, I suppose?
I suppose.
Okay, so massive storms in Europe and Russia, worst ever recorded in August. Sea level retreats from Brazil. Did you see a video on that?
No.
The sea retreated from Brazil, and 15-meter waves smash into Chile the very next day. So it pulled away from Brazil, and it came into Chile. Pull up the video. If you haven't seen it, that's an incredible video.
Really? Is that like when the tsunamis happen, the ocean recedes?
Yeah, but
and then
the
you're
tsunami
like, whoa,
never
what the
happened.
Fuck just happened? You yep. know, and everybody's going, duh, duh. It's like, run, run. You're telling them, run.
Yeah, that's what they did, too, I'm sure. And the water never came back. All their boats are laying on the ground. No chance.
Wow.
You can pull up that video
Is
right
that
now.
On Prep Aussie's website?
Prep Aussie, yeah, on his YouTube channel.
All right, I'm going to go to his channel right now.
I got it on right here.
Okay. I see he's got a lot of Nibiru Planet X. So if he says
Look
proof is here. Whoa, holy crap. Enoch is showing us it is incredibly blabes.
The water retreated. God.
Wow.
Wait, all those boats are on the ground.
Wow.
And anyway, it smashes into the shore in Chile. You wait till you see the waves. They're incredible. So
holy moly.
The earth wobbled is what they're saying. And when it does that,
really?
Water follows, you know, water seeks its own path.
That's the earth wobbled. Why would the earth wobble?
What do you mean by that, Spoon?
Water finds its own level.
Oh.
Right? So
how does it do that on a globe?
Well,
it's go ahead.
That's
go ahead.
How it does it, by
water
the center
tension.
Of gravity. It falls to the center of gravity, and that's what it does. Okay, so.
Fine.
The eclipse, let's see here.
Finds its level. That's what I'm just asking.
No,
I'm
like,
look for the Chile
like
thing,
if you're
though.
Not in a global, you know, type of thing, but I know what he's trying to say. Of course. Enoch takes it to the nth degree. No.
So it's crashing into Chile is what you said?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, we will.
The very next day.
Turned off our tunes so we could.
Oh, we did. Yeah, we did.
I was doing a little jam-a-rooney on the. I was looking for the video. There we go.
Oh, and you know you can't forget the giant hurricane that's going to fucking Florida right now.
Not only that, but there's one that's happening in the Gulf of Mexico and another one called Jose right behind. The one that's about barreling down on Florida.
So, yeah, so nothing is, going on.
Well, okay, so here's the thing. So this is what we talked about the last time I think we were on there. We were talking about Harvey and whatnot, and I'm sure people thought I was a monster because I just questioned whether humans should be living in certain areas of the earth. That's all I was saying.
Right, well, have you seen Florida?
Well, I mean, and again, here we see again. I mean, is it possible that there's areas of the world that humans aren't supposed to live in. I'm not saying that to be an asshole, not to be provocative, play devils. I'm just saying, in a biological, evolutionary sense.
A logical sense, right?
Thank you. Is there certain areas of the world that maybe, hey, man, enter at your own risk?
Yeah, well, right. They love it there, and they know the risks.
Okay. We live here in Minnesota, and a lot of people would think that we're fucking crazy because of our long winters. And
so,
it's like, well,
so, okay, it's a perfect example, Lance. You live here in Minnesota. And you know that it's possible that we could have an ice storm one day, right?
Yeah.
Like for those in the South that don't know what an ice storm is, it's incredible. Like,
yeah.
You get out and power lines are so saturated with ice that they start falling
down. Your car
down,
has
right?
a half-inch thick
and so
sheet
now,
of ice. You can't get it.
And now, all of a sudden, we're up here for 3-4, maybe days, maybe a week without power. And you know that that's the consequence of living in Minnesota. That's a chance you take. And so either you have a generator or you have a wood-burning stove or you have tons of blankets or something.
Right.
You know,
you prepare.
Yeah, you make preparation.
People
from
here are prepared, most of them. You know, unless they're
right,
because
your pipes will start
somewhere.
To freeze. That happened. We own a mobile home, and it got 20 below, 24 below outside, and our pipes froze. And when Georgia was having our son, and she was in the hospital, and we were running back and forth, and I neglected to run the water a little bit.
Oh, boy.
To trickle down a little bit, and it froze the pipes. And,
that's the worst part of living in a trailer house, friggin' pipes.
And the thing is, our electrical cord had gone out, and I didn't know that.
So
it was brand new. I just put it in that
Your heat
year.
Tape.
I think we stole your thunder, Spoon. I heard Prep Aussie, and we were kind of...
Oh, well, that's okay. That's all. There's That's some it? Other things no, on the list.
Else, That's it. Nothing else happened in August. Nothing paranormal.
Like, all right.
Plenty of time. Let's go.
Come on.
Just okay. trying, I'm just bringing it back to you. That's all.
Let's hear your doom and gloom. Oh, what about the sun, the CME that just blasted out at the Earth?
Okay, yeah. FEMA has started EarthX 2 days after the eclipse. The purpose of this is to simulate black sky event that will bring America to its knees. So, and then, like, the minute they finish that up, we get a giant CME off the sun. Huh? Go figure.
Huh. Well, they couldn't predict
that. So, okay, because I didn't know what the hell EarthX is, I looked it up, and I don't know if other people...
I don't know what it is.
Yeah,
tell me.
Okay, so...
Yeah, clarify a little bit, Spoon, you motherfucker.
Little backstory here. So, apparently, EarthX is NASA and FEMA conduct asteroid impact emergency planning exercise. And for all of you who get into conspiracies, whether it be 9/11 or Newtown, Connecticut, or you can just, the list goes on and on. If FEMA's in your neighborhood,
not a good sign.
Fucking go down to the basement, lock your cellar doors, and just hope they skip your house. I mean, seriously.
They usually show up before it happens. That's right. Goddamn right, they do. So, they were there.
So that was something that they were doing.
Yeah, but you know, we've had warnings. As far as I know, I started looking at Planet X in 2011 before 2012. I went deep down the fucking rabbit hole, man. Deep. And they've been predicting a CME to come and cripple our electronic grid for quite a while now, simply because that's what happens. And there's evidence that it's happened before. You know, they just never knew when it was going to happen. The CME has to be pointed... You know, if it's not pointed at the USA when it comes around the Earth, you know.
Well, just the fact that they're preparing for such an event. And then last year, Obama and his his thing that he passed about that.
Yeah, but don't you think they're preparing because, well, and I'm saying that everybody's going nuts over North Korea and all that. But the fucker does have a thermonuclear bomb that will create an EMP with an airburst that would knock out, you know, whatever area it was over, completely knock it out.
Wow. And people go bananas about that, you know, what we would do without electricity.
I don't really spend 1 second of the day worrying about North Korea.
Korea is a huge distraction.
I think it's for sure.
I don't think anything's going to come of it.
I agree.
And I think it's more about spreading fear. And like you said, it's a distraction. If anything, and I'm not going to get into political...
It could just be a simple ploy
from this administration to sleight of hand trick to, you know, like, I've got all this shit going on over here, but let me create this shiny little distraction over here in North Korea and threaten nuclear action, and now all of a sudden that's all you can talk about because you forgot about what I was doing with this hand. So, but anyways.
Right.
Okay, I digress. The next item on the list. This Donald Trump advises Congress that if they do not pass funding for the wall... they will receive no more federal government funding.
Yeah. Yeah, his threats are empty, man. It got to be passed by Congress and all that shit. That's the people, you know, they go fucking nuts about over this shit. You know, and he's trying to do some evil shit, DACA. It's purely a vindictive thing. But the thing is, it's got to go through Congress. It's got to go through this and that.
Who knows what it's got?
It's
got to go through the cheese grinder.
It's got
to be ground up and then spiced up.
He's just trying to divide people, man.
More of a reminder as to why to strip our government of its powers. And I know this goes against the grain of a lot of people who want the government to be in control of this, that, and the other, but just remember, sometimes you're going to get some people in there that you don't care for, that you think are very evil, and now you've handed them all this power. So that's all I say.
Well, that's, you know, and then people wake up, and hopefully...
And then it's too late, and then we're stuck getting finger-fucked in the ass dry and bitching, and that's why I don't bitch about it anymore. If you're getting up, take a stand. If you don't want to do something about it, do something about it.
Otherwise, but you're not. You're just going to sit back and let it happen.
Who?
You.
Me?
Yeah.
I'm not bitching about it.
Right. Well, that's true, but...
I bitched and cried and moaned to people when I was 19, 20, 21. I mean, I was reading books that...
Yep, you're an old fucker now, okay.
And, 46.
Yeah.
And, and I just got tired of being on the island. And I mean, I love the island, don't get me wrong, but I just got tired of recruiting to the island. So I just don't care anymore. I mean,
right.
Like voting, I think, is pretty much a farce. And so it doesn't really matter to me. And we could sit and argue politics all day long if people want. But at the end of the day, I'm like, well, this is just my opinion. That's just your opinion. And I think we agree on a lot more than we disagree. So are we decent human beings? Yeah. All right. Let's fucking move on.
Right.
Humans are better than politics. One day I hope they will wake up and realize that.
Yeah. We hope so. I mean, that's what keeps hope alive. And that's what keeps all, you know, the good people. You know, the lights in the darkness, the people that are reasonable, that can have a conversation and, you know, not let it develop into some kind of angry shouting match.
Negativity, yeah, that's the other subject we were going to talk about, too.
Or hate.
How negative things are right at the moment.
Now, that's from our perspective. I mean, and the world has a lot of misery going on it, but don't you think there's some places that it's not negative? You know, their world is pretty decent, and they're just sitting back and looking at all this bullshit going, man, these Americans are fucking crazy.
No.
You don't think so?
No,
Denmark
because,
or any of those?
No, because they're humans.
If you're
so you
in
think that we're all feeling the
we're human beings.
Collective.
And it's no different. And I don't divide myself to be an American. Now, granted, our culture is different. We have some, you know, whatever. But that's, in the end, we're still flesh, blood. Some of us may have a soul, as you like to say.
Right.
But we all pretty much striving for the same thing. I mean, right? I mean,
I think so.
You know,
we all have a lot of commonalities.
You know,
how about that?
We want to be comfortable, man.
You want to have a place to live.
Yeah.
You want to be able to feed yourself.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
You want to be able to take care of what's yours.
Yep.
You, your family, your property. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you want to do it in a safe haven. Right. You
know.
You don't want to be. Your path to be interfered with,
set by
speak.
Gangs or shit, man. I want to be protected,
or a tyrant ruler,
right?
You know. So, yeah. I mean, I think most places, most people on Earth, once you break it down and start communicating, although the culture might be extremely odd to you, you're like, oh, you eat that? That's weird to me. It's like, well, you're eating that, and that's weird to me. Okay, cool story, but then you'll start to find out you have a lot more in common than you have in, that's different,
right? I pass when it comes to octopus stomach, though. I'll eat the tentacles all day long, but leave the beak at home.
I meet a lot of human beings out there every day
doing
telephones. And everyone is uniquely different.
Right.
I mean, humans are an amazing
species. But do you feel
species.
An overwhelming sense of negativity that people are...
In general,
I mean, you're
public,
out there in the public, man.
In the public, yes.
You tell us. Really?
Yeah, that's a negative vibe all over the place. People like me when I come out to the job site because I'm the positive light that comes in, you know?
Right, yeah.
And, but yeah, I see a lot of negative. I see a lot of negative on the road.
Wow.
People are very impatient, and that's too bad.
There's a lot of cars on the road, my friend.
Traffic is ridiculous these days. Yep.
Well, what's your solution? You have a solution?
Yeah, quit working.
Work from home?
I just want to sit at home. Yeah, work from home.
That's the dream. That's what I try to do. Write books, cartoons, comics, posters, this and that. You know? Don't make a lot of money. A little bit of fame, you know. People know who I am. I can travel around. People are going to know who I am, you know.
Everybody knows the great Lance Ward.
I don't want to be remembered. I want to be forgotten. Words of George Costanza.
Yeah,
I
want to
be forgotten.
Can't stand you. All right, so
I don't want to be remembered. I want to be forgotten, Jerry.
I don't watch... like a lot of TV at all. I mean, I watch the Netflix, I binge, I'll watch a movie or, you know, it's just...
Dude, there's you've got a TV glued to your face, man.
No, I don't think
watch so.
Much
TV.
No, I barely watch any TV at all, man. But there is a show that I've been watching called MasterChef on Channel 9, and it stars a chef called Gordon Ramsay, and he's the English fella that swears all the time. And he yells at people, and he's yelling at him and making him do stuff and all this. And I turned it on, and I'm like, wow, look at this fucker yelling at these dopes trying to cook. I used to cook. I used to be a line cook, so this interests me, right? Well, there's a guy on there, looks just like George Costanza for real. He's got the glasses, the backwards baseball cap, the thick neck, you know, short, stout.
No wonder
I mean,
why
he
he's
is
an
Costanza,
asshole.
And I'm like, what the fuck? And everybody on the show hates him. They think he's the worst. They hate his attitude. And to be honest, I thought he was a joke. And they vote people out on this show. If you don't cook good enough,
you're chopped.
And I don't know what the prize is or whatever. I didn't give a shit.
You're chopped.
I just couldn't take my eyes off this Costanza guy. So then his team loses, and they say it's because of him. He doesn't communicate. So they have to go up for this challenge where they cook against each other. And they have to make the dish, and it's perfect, and if one of them screws it up, they got to go home. So they're all voting against Costanza, you know. They're like, nah, we want this guy to go home and all this. And
what
they're
were
just,
they cooking?
They're praying.
What were
chocolate
they cooking?
Chocolate souffle.
Oh, boy.
And he was up against a couple of chicks who looked like they knew what they were doing, right?
Sure.
Well, he went and he did the souffle, and they did the souffle. Costanza's souffle came out perfect. And before that, they're going, this guy's got 9 lives, and the cook, his name is Gordon Ramsay, he says, nah, it's time for him to die. You know, that type of shit. 9 lives are over.
Join us next week when we review Naked and Afraid.
Yeah. Right, right.
Listen to our archives of Brett Michaels' Rock of Love.
Right, well, they go up, and of course, the first one, they're like, all right, Costanza, bring it up. We got it. We want to taste yours first. They taste it, and of course, it's the richest, most creamiest fucking souffle the motherfucker ever had in his whole life.
Of course. Let's go.
He makes it through, and all the other contestants are like, damn it, damn it. I'm like, I need to watch this show again. I need to see if Costanza makes it through the whole way, man. I love rooting for the underdog, you know?
Speaking
it's hilarious,
of,
man.
Speaking of Naked and Afraid, I wonder what they pay for that brutality, you know?
Oh, my God. Tell Enoch, you did it. You went to Craigslist.
Oh, no. No.
And he got a job paying cash. They have a thing called gigs.
Yeah, we don't ever want to talk about.
If you guys are ever short on work, just check that out. Gigs on Craigslist. There's all kinds of funny business on there.
Yeah.
That's all we'll say about that.
Yeah, they want to pay a guy $2,000 to have sex with another guy in front of people.
Awesome.
Not on camera, but live. $2,000. Would you do it for $2,000?
No.
No.
Would you?
Sex with another guy.
Ridiculous.
I mean,
you'd be the top, though.
I don't think there's an amount you could give me where I'd ever feel comfortable
with that. You wouldn't have to kiss him or nothing. You'd just be the top. You come in, he's bent over, already lubed up. You go in, you slap him around a little bit, punch him in the balls.
That's pretty.
Degrade him a little bit, choke him maybe, and then slam it home. $2,000. Nobody's filming it. Nobody will know.
Nope. All right.
We got a threshold. I mean, I'm not gay or nothing, but fuck, man. $20, $20, man.
So we have
that's the worst I've ever heard.
So we have like about 7 minutes before the hour's up. Can we switch gears or end the show? Cut it short here. Thanks for coming in and listening today, folks.
Save us, man.
We can talk about anything we want to on the old rabbit hole show, and I mean, if you want to laugh, a lark. Go check out the gigs section of Craigslist and see if there's something out there for you. Maybe there's a door that seemed impossible to walk through, but Craigslist opens it right up for you. Have fun. So, go ahead.
Oh, I don't know. I just got this. I just wanted to talk about anything just to change the subject here. So I went on.
I got something to tell you.
All right, bring it up. Go ahead.
SwearNet. Trailer Park Boys, okay. Their website, the code, you type in September free, all in caps, and their code, you sign up, and it's you just give them your email and your name, and then they'll say, put in a code number. You put in, type in September free, all one word, in caps, and you get their whole channel for free for the whole month of September. You can watch all the shows. the Drinking Liquor with Mr. Leahy show, Guitar Lessons with Bubbles, Getting Learnt with Ricky, all kinds of cool shit.
Ricky, things I know.
Getting Learnt with Ricky is one of the funniest shows, and it's like a tool shop he's got set up, and he shows you how to make a grilled cheese sandwich if you don't have an oven.
Remember the book we for those that don't know, the Trailer Park Boys, this Canadian television show, three guys out of Nova Scotia. They've been around forever, but they do live shows as well. We went and saw them, and Ricky is like this complete moron, and he's got a book called Things I Know, and it's like... Got a picture of a crocodile, picture of an alligator, and it just says, same. And then it's like, got a picture of an ocean, picture of a lake, and it says, same wetness, different taste.
I like that. Oh, man.
So
what's up, Spoon? You got any good shows you're seeing? You going to go see It?
Gotta see It.
I'm seeing it, man. We got to. Figure it out. I don't know how I'm going to do
it. Can't sneak out and see that one. My family would kill me.
Nah.
They all want to see that. You know, it's a nice family outing.
Sure. Yep. Scary clown. Come and make your kids piss their pants a little bit. Yeah, you're not into that?
The last clown movie, The Clown, 2015.
That was excellent.
That was awesome. That was a Train to Busan.
I'm getting tired of the nostalgia. I mean, I've been tired of it, but it's kind of like, oh, we're going to redo this. It's like, no, just fucking do something different, man. Like, why? Just do something different, like anything different.
Right.
I don't know. Like, I'm watching Twin Peaks right now.
Yeah.
And
there you go.
And I watched, I'm watching the new Twin Peaks, so to speak, and I finally watched Fire Come Walk With Me.
Yeah.
Have you seen that?
No.
Okay.
Was it good?
It's good if you're a Twin Peaks fan.
Sure.
But it's typical Lynch. I mean,
those are all
you watch
bombers,
the movie,
right?
And you feel like you fucking know less than you knew coming into it, right? You're like, okay, there's all this. It's cool because they give you the story before Cooper, right? And then like that's where the movie starts. It's like right before Cooper starts the show, and then it leads into it. But then you're like, all right, I don't want to give it away. And now I'm watching the new
spoiler alert from 25 years ago.
Well, but then it leads into the show, right? Which is like kind of does, and it does. But now I'm watching the show, and the show just has like constant non sequitur after non sequitur. Like there's characters introduced, and you're like, okay, we're like in the fourth episode. This guy's never been mentioned. You're not even telling me his name. We're in a whole different fucking city, town. Like I don't even understand how this is gonna affect anything. And you know, it's like I'm not looking for Lynch to give me all his spoilers and clues or whatever, but at the same time I just feel like it's so...
Is that the dude where a toe is talking to him or some shit?
Just like so all over the map and convoluted. But I'm watching it and to some extent enjoying it again because
I heard he wraps it up real good at the end.
Well, that is to be seen, and we shall see. But I'm only about 5 episodes into the new season, so.
And there's 10, right?
No, I think there's...
Twin Peaks. That's like a soap opera, right?
No. I think there's like 22 or something.
Holy shit,
this year.
That's monstrous.
Because there's already like 16 or something like that. Wow. Twin Peaks is an old show from, I think it was 88, 89. It was on the air for 2 years. Had like maybe 30 episodes total. Went off. Had kind of a cult following. So like 3 years later, David Lynch did a movie, which is Fire Come Walk With Me, and which was kind of supposed to wrap it up, but it didn't.
What is it, like Dallas or something?
Oh, no.
David Lynch, Eraserhead.
It's
Elephant Man.
Yeah, what about him?
Director from Dune. He's
What's
a fucking
so great
weirdo.
About it? What is it? It's a story about
it
what?
It is a very weird,
about
strange
Twin Peaks?
Show. It's so...
Two Mountains?
No, Twin Peaks is it's the area, it's the town that he goes to. It's like up in Washington. It's a fictional town. And there's a murder that happens of some high school girl. I believe she's like the prom queen or something. Like everybody knows her, small town, blah, blah, blah. So then the FBI gets involved because it's related to some other murders. And they send in Special Agent Dale Cooper, which is
and
Kyle,
the weirdness
Kyle McLaughlin,
begins,
who's childhood friends with David Lynch. That's why he's in like
Blue Velvet.
There's a million shows.
You
like
saw
that
Blue Velvet?
No, Spoon. No, there's not a million shows like Twin Peaks.
No.
And then it's basically
You won't like it. Trust me, well, Bosponi.
I don't know. Maybe you won't. But it's almost, it's really, it's a battle of good and evil.
Dude, I'm watching.
It's a whole yin and yang, and like there's a really dark, there's like a very, I would tell you, I think he might like it, and I wouldn't want to give him too much of it away, but it's bizarre. It's the way he does it, the scenes that he sets up where there's these long scenes, pauses, awkward pauses, like more facial expressions than dialogue sometimes, and it's not everyone's cup of tea. And he's got the best part of it to me is usually the soundtrack, the music he scores it with.
Good music.
Yep.
Like it. Good stuff. Well,
we're at an hour.
Yeah, we're at an hour. God damn, you sons of bitches. So there we go. And it's been a great show. I was going to bring something up related, and it just slipped my mind. It, you know, Twin Peaks, David Lynch, he did the movie Blue Velvet, you know, which is
Dennis
a singular
Hopper.
Experience. Oh, I'm watching, I just started watching Ash versus Evil Dead.
Yeah.
You seen that TV show?
No.
You should give it a chance. You'll like it. It's pretty good.
I've just had enough of that action.
All right, fine.
Evil Dead 3 was awesome.
Fine.
No doubt about it.
All right. Well, that's the show for you.
Spoon doesn't watch shows, but he watches movies.
Now and again, yeah. I watch a movie, yeah. But not much. No. No, I don't watch a whole lot of TV, buddy.
No, I know.
Don't.
That's what I'm saying.
He works a lot.
Yeah, but he's, that's what I'm saying. He's, I feel like when you do your screen time, it's a movie. It's not television.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Yep. There we go. All right. Electric Orange leaving you out here. Catch us next week on the Rabbit Hole Show. Lance Ward, see you later.
Can't wait to talk about Naked and Afraid.
Sign me up.